This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be on the criminal courts during the COVID crisis. I am here today with Barrister Jeremy Rosenberg on the other side of my computer. We are recording remotely during this period of time from 23 Essex Court in Chambers, in London, in Chambers. Jeremy is regularly instructed in serious and complex legal matters, and he has a particular experience of dealing with motoring matters and regularly receives instructions relating all aspects of driving offences. Jeremy was recently commended by a judge as being both persuasive in law while finding a way to connect to the jury, which was both involving and sensitive. Thank you very much for joining us, Jeremy.
Pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. I'm okay. I have to say, week one of the self-isolation process, and it's interesting. You know, you find yourself, I guess, doing things that you don't get the opportunity to do, to have time to do so much at home. All my filing's completely up to date. The cleaning's up to date. And now I'm going beyond that. So, yes, I guess we are going through some very challenging times, but interesting times. And I think that this podcast on COVID and the criminal law can give perhaps our listeners who are interested in having answers or seeing or hearing answers to these sorts of questions some interesting points. So let's roll with it. The first question that we're going to try and answer today, Jeremy, is can the police arrest me if I break the new COVID laws? Would I get a criminal record for breaking any COVID law?
The short answer to that is yes. They have enacted two main pieces of legislation, the Coronavirus Act 2020 and the Health Protection Coronavirus Regulations 2020, wide-ranging powers to the police, and if you fail to comply with their wishes, they can use reasonable force to use their powers, and if that means that they have to arrest you because you're not following their direction, then they have the power to do so.
And a criminal record could come with it if you're charged with anything.
Yeah, sorry. In terms of criminal record, it isn't. There's a series of offences. You can be required under the Acts to disperse. You can be required to be detained for testing. You can be required to be detained in a place so that you, if you're a risk of infection to others. And all of those, if you fail without reasonable excuse to comply with the orders made by the police or a healthcare professional or even an immigration officer has powers, you will be committing a criminal offence and you will therefore be fined is the maximum penalty, but it is a criminal offence. It will go on your criminal record.
Yes, well, yes, indeed. I mean, you know, I think we've all read in the recent news how there's lots of people, not many, I guess, but there are groups of people who are ignoring the self-isolation and keeping your distance in short measures. So, yes, if you do not abide by the laws and the police see that you're doing it on purpose and obviously, you know, intentionally, then a criminal record, you could be given one. So that's a very serious thing. So, all right, well, let's go to our next question.
They have quite the kinds of powers as well. So not only can they disperse you, they can also detain you if they think you need to be tested. They can detain you if they think you're infected and you pose a risk of spreading that infection. They have powers to close down events, gatherings.
Yes,
and yes. You can also get in trouble if you've got... Yeah, you can also get in trouble if you've got children and they require the children to do it. If they're under 18, it's your responsibility to ensure, if you're the person with care of the child, if the child refuses to comply, you are held responsible for the child and you can be punished for if without reasonable excuse you've breached the rules requiring the child to comply with the orders made.
Yes, indeed. Okay, next question then, Jeremy. What has happened to the criminal courts during this crisis? Are they still working? And if so, what type of work is being done in them?
So the criminal courts are still functioning. If you go out and commit a criminal offence and you get caught doing it, then you'll be arrested, no doubt charged with that offence, and you'll be required to attend court. Now, when I say required to attend, they've all but stopped all attendances in person, certainly in the Crown Court. In the Magistrates Court, I understand that they are still bringing people who are in custody to the court and to be dealt with at their first hearing by the district judge, because that is where bail is normally decided, and so they've not done that remotely unless they can, but often they can't, so they still produce the person at court. But in general terms, all trials have stopped, but the administrative hearings continue, all being done remotely where possible. And in terms of bail hearings, they're all being continued. So really, it's only the most serious and the most priority type cases that are being dealt with, i.e. where people are being held in custody, and therefore it needs to be sorted out then and there. If you're on bail, so the police have released you, even if you've been charged or you've been summoned, then you won't be required to attend court, and often your cases will be adjourned administratively until after this crisis. So at the moment, right, they're all being adjourned off.
So what we're saying is
July,
that
and you're given a statement.
So what we're saying is that the current hearings that have been held in criminal courts, from our understanding, are those that have people in custody who are waiting to be charged or to see whether they will not be charged. And any very serious crimes that had to be heard that cannot be done remotely. I guess when we say remotely, what we mean is if somebody is in custody, then there would be a sort of remote hearing, if you like, via the internet to telephone as such.
Yeah, so everyone in the courts will have been charged. So they will have been arrested, there would have been some investigation by the police, and they will have been charged by the police. Once they're charged, the police then make a decision at the police station whether to release you on bail or to remand you into custody, because they are worried that you'll interfere with witnesses, that you'll abscond, or that you might commit further offences. And so they remand you into custody, and then you're brought to the Magistrates Court. So as I understand, that's still being done in person. In the Crown Court, once your case gets sent to the Crown Court from the Magistrates Court, all hearings, even if they're in custody, are done remotely. So no one is being required to attend in person in the Crown Court.
And what about if somebody says, do I have to attend at a criminal court hearing if I don't want to, because I'm worried that I might contract the coronavirus? I mean, you know, if somebody says, look, I'm really worried about that, I don't want to physically attend at a court hearing, and whether I know you said the Crown Court are hearings via remotely, but maybe the Magistrates Court, do I have to go? Do people have rights to stand up and say, I don't want to go to court because I'm worried?
In the current situation, no one on bail is being required to attend the court in person. So it wouldn't happen where you're out and about and you get a letter. As in normal times, you'd be asked that you must attend the court on this date, etc. And you've got to attend in person at a certain time and surrender yourself to the court. That in these times is not happening. They're not requiring people to do that. It's only those in custody that are being required to attend. And if you're in custody, the police are already, or the prison service are already controlling your movement.
Right. And we've said magistrates' courts are currently still hearing in person. And let me just make our listeners aware of the date, which I should have probably done at the beginning of the podcast. It's Friday, the 27th of March. So we're talking as of today and as of now. This is what the laws are saying in relation to the criminal courts and criminal laws. So if you do attend and you have to attend at the magistrates' courts in person, do we know if there's any protective equipment available? What are the sort of precautions that are being taken to protect everybody, you know, the judges, the magistrates, the police, and you, if you're the person that's potentially attending?
So at present, there is no protective personal protective equipment being provided by the courts or the police. So if you go and you've got your own equipment, then that's good for you. But if you are at court for whatever reason, you won't be provided with gloves, protective gear, masks, anything.
Right. Nope. And the next question, actually, an interesting one, I think, is can I be kept in custody while the crisis is going on?
And the short answer to that is yes. Let's say you commit a serious offence that gets you kept in custody. You might not have your trial for many, many months.
Because of the crisis.
You might have your trial adjourned because of the crisis. And if you're in custody whilst it's going on, then you'll have to remain in custody.
Yes.
I have seen that judges are considering the current situation what we might call a change in circumstance, so that a new bail hearing could be heard. But the judge still has to consider, are you going to commit further offences? Are you going to abscond? Or are you going to interfere with witnesses? And if he has substantial risks to believe that you are, then you'll still be kept in custody and your trial date will go off for quite a while at the moment because of the current situation. So the advice is...
Most unfortunate. I mean, that is most unfortunate.
Yes.
Okay. So the last question that we've got for today, Jeremy, is can the police use force to enforce the new COVID laws? And I know we've touched on that during our first question. I guess they can, you know, if you're saying, look, you have to be tested. This is a new COVID 2020 requirement, part of the law, and you say no, then I think they can use force. Isn't that right? I mean, we've covered this briefly in point one.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The police are allowed to use reasonable force to enact the new powers. And one of the powers, in fact, allows people to be detained for up to 14 days, whereby if they think you're a risk of spreading the virus, obviously to ensure that you are, if you do have the virus, that you're clear of it by then. But they can use reasonable force and they can prevent you from absconding or running away. And if you do manage to abscond or run away, they can go and get you and bring you back. And right. If they fear that you will breach the rules, they can remand you into custody in the meantime. So you can be held in a police cell for those 14 days.
Yes, I mean, what's going to be interesting is if they say, right, we're going to now take you into custody and you do have the virus, then I'm sure the police are going to be equipped to make sure that you don't spread the virus to other people in custody. You know, or to the police themselves. I mean, it's not the cleanest situations, unfortunately, but I'm sure they will they will look at making provision for that.
Yeah, I would have thought that that's the last resort, to remand you into a police cell for breaching these rules. If they require you to go to a place to be kept in quarantine, as it were, I'm sure the first place they will ask you to go is a hospital or your house or somewhere else that you can be convinced that you'll be able to self-isolate. If you ignore those rules and repeatedly ignore those rules, then I would have thought as a last resort they'll put you into a police cell and keep you there if you are so much of a threat to everybody else.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw recently Max Hill, the DPP, was commenting in the press recently because there were reports of people spitting and coughing in police officers or emergency workers' faces intentionally. And that's where the new rules slide into normal criminal offences. If you're spitting in someone's face and you've got coronavirus and you're doing it intentionally, there's already case law on that for people who have serious diseases such as HIV. And you do it if you intentionally try and infect someone with HIV, that's committing grievous bodily harm. And I would have thought if you have coronavirus and you are tested positive and you try and infect somebody intentionally, I would have thought the courts would have, and the jury would have no problem in determining that infecting someone with coronavirus is intentionally causing them serious physical harm. Because we all know that although some people get mild symptoms, lots of people get serious symptoms, and it can be fatal in some circumstances. So the normal laws still apply. In the same way, if the police tell you to do something and you ignore it, they then try and use reasonable force to move you on, as it were, and you end up in a fight with them, well, then you've assaulted an emergency worker, which is punishable by imprisonment up to 2 years, and it's a standard criminal offence that came into force recently. And all those types of regular criminal offences still apply in this time.
Yes. No, indeed. I mean, absolutely. That's very helpful, Jeremy. And, you know, I know that there's lots of news. I know that there's lots of information being reported, but it's nice to hear it in these terms, if you like. Just simply, is this an event? Do I get a criminal record? Could I get a criminal record? What happens if I don't want to go to a criminal court hearing? Is there any protective equipment available in court? It's nice to just have plain, straight answers to this stuff. So thank you very much for recording with us today. And I know that we're going to be looking at continuing our recordings because there'll be more questions that people would like to know the answers to coming in. So don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts, and you can find us on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.
Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes.